Howdy, hey, hello, it's McKenna, and this is Munch and Mingle. It's that time again, another Thoughts in My Head episode. Y'all know I love these, especially when I have way too many things to talk about and I can't narrow it down. So this has become a thing. We are going to cover all things that I've been going through first trimester. How are y'all preparing for the holiday season? Because it's here. And lastly, why you should stay away from the gray. So trust me, you're going to want to listen to this whole episode from beginning to end. First things first, our sponsor today. So grateful once again, it is BetterHelp. As a lot of you know, going through the ordeal and trauma of my second pregnancy with Beau left me in a pretty low state. But really, how grateful I am then, and especially now, for finding BetterHelp. No matter if you've been through a traumatic experience or just the normal lows of life, I strongly suggest looking into therapy, and that's where BetterHelp comes in. BetterHelp is a platform that makes finding a therapist easier because not only is it online, it's remote. They've not only made it so easy and accessible, but affordable to get therapy. And I always thought therapy was a good idea, but thought it was really too expensive. But with BetterHelp, they are changing the game for everyone. And seriously, they are. Follow the link that I've put in the description box, and it's going to take you right where to sign up and get matched with a therapist. And while using my link, you're going to get 10% off your first month. So savings on savings, y'all. My therapist from BetterHelp really has helped me through the trenches of postpartum depression, and I know whatever you're going through, BetterHelp can find the therapist for you. Again, that's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, and trust me when I say it really is just that, better of help. Now, before we get in, of course, we know we have to do our munchie, and I actually just finished eating it as I was doing all the show prep. It is red gravy. This is actually a recipe from Charlie Bell. You guys know her. You love her. I had her on back in, oh my gosh, it's so long ago, the beginning of this year. February 6th is the episode, Why Not You? In that episode, we find out she's Italian. And so over the summer, I got really obsessed with all things Italian food. And all of a sudden it hit me. I was like, oh my gosh, I know an actual Italian. So me and her were just texting. I was like, can you just like help me make something? And so she's like, what do you want to make? And I was like, I don't know, like pasta sauce. I figure that's pretty generic. And so when I got there, the first thing she said is, we don't call it pasta sauce or marinara. It's called gravy. And I was like, excuse me? And she's like, well, it's just because we put it on everything. It's called gravy to Italians. It was incredible. It is now so hard for me to go buy actual pasta sauce, or in this case, gravy from the store, because of how easy it is to make and just how much it tastes so much better than any other sauce I've had. We need to get Charlie on because we would totally talk about it, but try to figure out how to make things homemade. Homemade's just always better. That was our munchie for the day. Okay, first trimester. First off, thank you y'all for sticking with me as I have been getting through this trimester. It has definitely been a doozy this round. That is for sure. I haven't necessarily had too much nausea or food aversions, which is like great, awesome. But oh my goodness, the fatigue. It is like crippling this go around. My whole body has basically been lifeless. And that's really hard when Britain is in Fire Academy and when I have two little ones still. So it's been a trial. And so again, thank you for understanding why I kind of lagged a little bit on episodes. And that's truly because I was barely keeping it together. That's also been really hard for me because it was something that physically stopped my body. And we know how much I go, go, go. So that's been its own lesson in and of itself. But instead of fighting it, I've really, really been trying to listen to my body. And sometimes I'm really glad I did. Other times I'm still, I get really mad at myself. Like, geez, McKenna, you're so lazy and you can't even like, how do people get through their first trimesters like working out still and you can't even get off the couch? I'm a work in progress, okay? We're still working through it because it's different. And when they say every pregnancy is different, they're not lying. As far as health concerns, because I've got a lot of questions with that, which makes sense after Beau and everything that happened, getting pregnant again, what are we worried about? Well, as far as like testing goes and them checking on me, a lot of that really isn't going to start taking place until the third trimester. And that's just because, you know, the baby is bigger and we can kind of be seen more right now. And it is kind of terrifying. Like, it's basically like, if you're doing good and the baby's still in you, we're doing good. And that's just what you have to go on. You're like, okay. But it's also different since this is my third pregnancy. I kind of know what's going on these two trimesters. And really the biggest appointment I was worried about was the initial first appointment, just to confirm that like I was pregnant, and everyone who goes through this knows that, just to like actually hear a heartbeat and see the baby to confirm like, okay, there's actually a baby in there. Since we got over that and we've confirmed there is a baby in here, I've been pretty chill. I haven't really been big on telling everyone we're pregnant. And it's not that I don't want to. It's just because I almost forget. Someone tell me if that's a thing about like, once you get to a certain number of pregnancies after that, if it just becomes like, oh yeah, it's just so normal that it's just like, yeah, we're excited, you know, our little family. And maybe it would be different if I had like older kids right now, but I'm still in the routine of a 2 and 1 year old, and that's keeping me preoccupied. So the pregnancy, it's like great, and I'm so happy and we're so excited. But as until they get here, it's just like, okay, life is normal. When we do start testing in the third trimester, they're initially going to be checking on my C-section scar, on how my placenta is holding up for the pregnancy. As of right now, I've been cleared for a VBAC, which for anyone out there who doesn't know, because I did not, it stands for a vaginal birth after cesarean, which I'm so happy about. I've only had one vaginal birth and one emergency C-section, and I will take the vaginal birth any day. Especially if we are comparing recoveries. Oh my goodness. I was told that a normal planned C-section, it takes up about 45 minutes to an hour to like do the whole procedure. And that's just because they're delicately cutting through everything layer by layer, versus an emergency C-section, which, as you can gather by the name, is done very quickly. You guys, my emergency C-section with Beau, from the first cut to having him out, was in under 2 minutes. So that's a whole lot of everything that just, you know, I'm assuming there's certain ways to cut. And if they're like, they've got their time, it's just like when you have more time to create a meal versus hurry, put it together and go, it's just different. And so the recovery for an emergency C-section is so hard. I still hear it's pretty hard for a normal C-section anyway. Just going over what I've known for myself so far, I'm going to continue hoping and praying that we get to stay on track for a VBAC. The other testing that they're going to be looking at for me is my amniotic fluid. This is something that got super low with Baker and ultimately is what had to get me induced 2 weeks early with him. They were already projecting the same to happen with Beau, just because apparently it happens. Like, if it happens on your first, there's a good chance it's going to happen on all yours, is what I've been told. But obviously we never got to see that with him because he came so early. So my goal right now, just keep the baby in as long as possible. I know it's a little bit easier said than done, especially where I'm not in my third trimester. But we're just going to hold on to that hope. Some things I've been doing: drinking as much water as I possibly can. Now, obviously this can get very annoying, especially where you're pregnant and you have to keep going to the bathroom all the time. I really am hesitant about getting Braxton Hicks from dehydration. I got that a lot with Beau. Obviously, that came from being dehydrated. So I've just really been committed this time. Like, we're going to just try to keep that as much as we can. And again, in my aid in the amniotic fluid thing, I don't know. I don't know how the body works with that, but we're just going to try. The other thing, this is new, and I'm actually really shocked that I'm just finding out about this now. Especially as I've now experienced a trauma related to a seatbelt, I am, or have been, using a pregnancy seatbelt extender. It's literally that little clip that you like kind of wrap around your seat. You can get it off Amazon, you guys. And it's just this hook that when you go to put your seatbelt on, the lap band clips onto that. So it kind of makes like a V over your legs instead of across your stomach. It's 100% way more comfortable than just wearing a normal seatbelt as is, like over your belly when you're pregnant. This should be like given to you at the hospital when they confirm your pregnancy. Like, here's your seatbelt extender. I have a new doctor this go around, so I had to let him know just about all my past histories. And when we were going over everything that happened with Beau, all I said is we were in the car And he said, oh my gosh, so your placenta abruption happened from the seatbelt. Then Britton was talking to a firefighter he works with, and they confirmed to him the top reason that this firefighter has seen women go into early labor or having placenta abruptions almost all the time are happening from the seatbelt and almost accidents. Because obviously these firefighters are getting called out to a lot of car accidents. But certain things like this, and me being one of those, you know, like statistics, it's the seatbelt. It's because it goes into that locking position and it pushes against your belly. It's insane. Why is this not talked about more? Maybe I'm going to be the advocate. I'm going to start pushing for this. Like if you get pregnant, I will be the one who gifts it to you. I won't be buying as many clothes or shoes. Definitely not shoes. No newborn baby is wearing shoes that much as I think they should be. I bought so many with Baker. And then because Beau came so soon, I had them. Wait until they're like one, or better yet, they're walking. That's what it's for. We've got so many clothes from the older brothers that are still in style and good condition since all these kids are so close. And I've just learned that most of the time, especially in that first year, it's really practicality and comfort for your baby versus style. That is. It's so sad. You know, and I'm not going to say I do still have a couple of pieces, and I probably will get one or two nice outfits just to have for pictures and stuff. But honestly, they be rocking those zipper pajamas. That's it, you know? And nowadays they're so like neutral. They're not crazy funky colors that it kind of just is like, yeah, it looks normal when you bring them out. So it's all good. Oh, and spoiler alert, if it didn't just give away what we're having, we did find out the gender of this baby. Baby number three is a boy. I was a little bummed at first, but now I'm actually really relieved and excited. We know how to raise boys around here. That is true. Other thing, which I'm sure does not come as a shock to anyone, especially all my friends who are moms. They know I preach this so much or have gotten them the book. We will, in fact, continue sleep training. Oh my gosh, this was like one of the very first episodes I did on this podcast, Why Your Baby Needs a Sleep Routine. It's from 2022 in September. Basically, I just talked about then the book and what I've seen the impact, but oh my gosh, I need to do another one because of how I've seen the impact and importance of having a sleeping routine with an almost 3-year-old and an almost 2-year-old, and just how it's blessed our overall family. So we've got to do another updated episode of that just to even further push the point on it. Honestly, if you guys haven't, you can start anytime, and I strongly suggest you do. It is so worth it. So worth it. That's really it for first trimester. I hit 13 weeks tomorrow. And as of right now, I'm starting to get back more spouts of energy. Again, just thank you guys for understanding how I've just been trying to navigate this process, not trying to overdo it too much. Right now, I'm shooting for episodes every other week. That's my goal, just to give myself a break so that I'm not putting so much stress on me, thus putting stress on baby boy. Just thank you. Thank you for understanding while we get through this. On to thought number two. Welcome to the holiday season. How are we all doing? Are y'all stressed yet? Have you got it all figured out? Have you not even thought about it? I'm kind of in like all three, it feels like. But I originally put out in an episode last year that was a guideline I had made up and was using to get pre-planned for all my holidays. That episode, ooh, it's 2022. Yeah, it's last year. It's just called Holiday Prep. But being pregnant, yeah, I'm a little bit more lax this time around. As far as it goes, Halloween, we're pretty much set to go. Got 1 week, so I guess I was 1 week ahead. For Thanksgiving, I'm helping my dad plan it this year. He's going to have it at his house with most of his family all coming in. Hoping to get a lot of that planned by the first week of November. Just have everything solidified. But as far as Christmas plan and prep, we've already begun it. We're in the middle of it, I would say. I strongly believe in having a majority of your Christmas everything done before December. A big part of that is having your Christmas list done in the month of September. And then as you go through each month, you're just picking items off of it. And throughout each month, you can also have another checklist for other things like having things ready for parties, for dinners, whatnot. I did a lot of that on that last episode. But the reason I really like having as far as shopping for Christmas is it allows me to budget and allocate funds to each family member so that I'm not mad dashing or going into debt the week before Christmas. So if you're to take away one piece of advice about holiday prep, start your Christmas prep now. I mean, it's the end of October, so you still could get a good head start in November. You have the time now when not everyone is thinking the same thing that you are. And the best part, you are going to be able to make December so much more enjoyable. I cannot stress that enough. I think the beauty and just all out amazingness that comes with December is sometimes squelched because we're so busy like making sure we got all the Christmas shopping done and whatnot, like every last minute thing. And I don't think we have to do that. And I don't want anyone else to miss out on truly the reason for the season, right? And to get to live that, because we all know it's the best month of the year. Man, we kind of cruised through. Stay away from the gray. So let me explain this. I saw a girl on social media the other day and she was replying to a comment. Someone asked her about her status in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Sorry, I'm just hearing Beau upstairs. This girl goes on to explain where she is right now. And it basically just ended with her saying, I'm not fully in, but I'm not fully out. I'm basically in the gray or the middle. This particular wording struck me. And this was almost a week ago, y'all. I have been thinking about this every day since. The more I've thought about it and talked about it, I honestly don't think there really is a gray area. I want to be clear, this girl wasn't saying she was having a trial of faith. She was more commenting just about her lifestyle and how others may look at her culture and lifestyle. If that makes sense. I realize we could spend all day debating what some consider right or wrong on being an active member of the Church of Jesus Christ, but we're just going to table that. Now, while I did just use the excuse of this, what this girl used for being in the gray, I believe the gray or the middle is not only church related. You can be in the gray in your job. You could be in the gray in a relationship. You can be in the gray, and I'm using quotation marks, when you're on a diet, okay? Also, we just watched all the Halloween Towns. And in the second movie, do you all remember when Cal put the gray spell over all of Halloween Town? That's what I think of when people are saying, I'm in the gray or I'm in the middle. So just to paint a picture of what's going on in my head, I don't believe that there is a gray or a middle. I believe you are either all in or all out in any of those areas of your life. So many times we try to think that there is a way to teeter between both, you know, one foot on this side and one foot in the other. But honestly, guys, let's be real. Come on, take a good look at yourself. Most of the time, if you really look inward, you're going to see a pretty good chunk of yourself more fully on one side than the other. So I don't believe there can be a true 50-50. Most of the time, you are going to be leaning in one side more than the other. But for this example, we will just keep using the gray or the middle. Now, here's why I think being, at least thinking that you're in the gray or in the middle is the worst. There is no stability there. There is no growth. There is no real commitment. There's no being present. The gray area reminds me of a lot of people who only want, let's say, their way, who don't want to be challenged, who don't want to sacrifice anything, let alone commit to anything. And that is not the way to live life, in my opinion. It's not. I realize to some, being a part of something that requires just that, sacrifice, commitment, hard work, etc., could actually look or feel a lot like the gray spell in Halloween Town. It's monotonous. It's too hard. It requires me to put my own wants and desires to the side sometimes. But that's where, again, I think people are just using different wording to their own benefit. And I really couldn't disagree more. When you are committed to something that actually requires hard work to achieve your goal or makes you say no to something, although you'd really rather say yes, there is an amazing power, a rewarding feeling that comes with that. Being involved with anything that is going to better yourself by pushing yourself will always have better outcomes than not. And you can go back to all those other excuses or examples I just used, whether it is being in your religion, being more committed to your job, being more involved and sacrificing for a relationship in your marriage. You guys know of a certain example in your life, but think about that. When you are giving more to it, it's always going to give more back to you. So the one thing I wish I could say to this girl, kind of what I'm saying now to you, stay away from the gray. There is no middle. Really, it is just stay away from anything that is going to put you in an area where there's no growth. Like we talked about, there's no growth. There's no movement. There's no learning on how to be better in whatever that example is for you. Now, I want to go real quick because I do just have to like testify about this one subject. Like I said, I don't believe this was a girl. This was a girl saying she was having a trial of faith. That is something completely different. Sometimes in our lives, we are going to go through moments of grief, loss, or pain, or just full on doubt, where we have certain seasons that our faith is fleeting. I don't believe that you can't or shouldn't have those moments. I actually think you should welcome them. You start praying for them. And I know that sounds weird, but here's why. I think Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ want you to have trials of faith because it gives them an opportunity to show you who they are and also to show you who you really are and who you are becoming. The one thing I think we get wrong though during our trial of faith is we don't include Heavenly Father or the Savior in our findings or figurings as we work through our trials of faith. Now, hold on for a minute. How, think about that. How on earth are we supposed to know anything about this life, let alone our own individual lives, the things that we are trying to find answers to, if we don't even ask the two people, capital P, who made all that possible to help us find the truth? But instead, we lean on our own understanding, on what our own minds can somehow conjure up as logical, or better yet, we go to Google, we go to TikTok, or whatever I'm feeling most comfortable with that day. No, that is not going to help you in your trial of faith. I have a person in my life who I'm very close with who is going through their own trial of faith. That was just a reminder. I said, well, don't forget Heavenly Father's right there with you. He wants to tell you. He's going to help you find it. If you're afraid that you already know the answer, maybe you need to look a little deeper on that. If you don't want to include Heavenly Father or Jesus Christ because you're like, well, I already know the answer. I just don't want to do that right now. Okay, then we got a different understanding of maybe you are going back to, again, quotation marks, our gray area. Go back to the previous couple minutes ago. But going back to the trial of faith, I can only imagine how much it hurts our Father in Heaven's heart when someone says, I don't know if God hears me, or I don't know if he wants to help me. And they don't even try to talk to him. Or better yet, they try to give him the ultimatum of, hey, here's how things need to work for me to believe in you. I'm sorry, what? Who are we to say like, this is how I need it to be done? No. Trials of faith can be so great for our spirit to grow and understand new truths and to most of all come closer to God and his son, Jesus Christ. Do not be afraid of them, but also know the real resources to use for gaining help and knowledge through them. I have what I call a war room, and it's actually copied after the actual movie, War Room, which I highly encourage you all to watch. It's cheesy, so cheesy, but there's power in that. A lot of my life and relationship with God and Jesus Christ have changed because of this little room. It's really a closet, but I need to do a whole separate episode on that because I think a lot of us, if we just started having an actual place where we can go to be with Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, just there will be so many more problems solved and so many trials of faith that are going to have so much gained through them. Oh, alrighty, I hear it's dinner time. I hear the boys screaming upstairs. So I'm going to close this one out. You guys, I love you all so much. No matter where you are in this life, I love you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being a part of the Munch and Mingle community. I am so grateful to have this space to, one, work through the inner thoughts and workings of my mind, but also that you guys come here to listen to your friends, to your family, and to other conversations. It's incredible. So again, thank you. Thank you for being here with me. Please have such a great week, and I will talk to you next time. Bye.